أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام فكلوا منها وأطعموا البائس الفقير ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق صدق الله العظيم. The last ayah we discussed yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam to make the announcement of Hajj amongst mankind, which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had done. Allah informed him that people will come for Hajj walking on weak animals from distant lands and from distant places. Why would they come? Very briefly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one simple term, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, so that they may witness benefit for them, or they may witness the places of benefit for them. Now when we look at Hajj in itself, the great benefit that man gains, one is the spiritual aspect and the spiritual benefit of Hajj. The ulama have written that the greatest spiritual benefit that man gets is if one performs his Hajj in a proper manner. The hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he will return from his Hajj free of sins, like his mother had given birth to him, that on the day his mother had given birth to him, he came out as a ma'soom, a sinless child into this world, like that the Haji will return home totally purified from all sins. But of course, there the condition is, Allah Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person does not violate the laws of Hajj, he does not commit any sins whatsoever, and obviously if it is major sins, then he makes tawbah at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his major sins, his minor sins, etc. Then the ulama have also written the very important manafi and the very important benefit of Hajj and the visiting of the Baytullah in general, whether it is for Hajj, whether it is for Umrah, that one gains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is again, if the Hajj is carried out in the true spirit of Hajj, or the Umrah is carried out in the true spirit of Umrah, then it is a manifestation of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously when sins are forgiven, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into the heart of a person. There is a total change around in one's life, in one's heart, in one's spiritual condition. And all that now is the manafi of Hajj, insofar as the spirituality is concerned briefly. Then we will find that there is also a material benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants, like we find in certain narrations, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most bashful that his servant comes to the house of Allah, he undergoes this great expense to reach the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reimburses that person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies that reimbursement. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him more insofar as his dunya is concerned, his material wealth is concerned, more than what he spent for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is also another very important benefit that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant a person. And then of course we know that there are many economical benefits for those that perform Hajj, those that are in the business of Hajj, etc. Thereafter Allah says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ fi ayyamin ma'lumat, that the next benefit is that the person now takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when does he do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fi ayyamin ma'lumat, that he does it on those known days. And the known days, according to the fuqaha, is the 10th, 11th and 12th of Zulhijjah. Those are the days of, on the one hand, the qurbani that takes place throughout the entire world, and for those that have performed Hajj, those are the days of the dam shukr that a person will make for having joined his Hajj to Umrah, and he participates in this. Here, one very important aspect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ, upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sustained them, min bahimatil an'am, from the animals of sacrifice. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes particular mention of this important aspect, that one is the sacrifice that takes place, one is the flowing of the blood that takes place. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one of the foundations of the entire sacrifice is to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that animal. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that the actual objective is to take the name of Allah Rabbul Izzat, that that animal be sacrificed in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah Rabbul Izzat says, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now eat from that sacrificed animal. Now one is the dami shukr that takes place, for that all the ulama say that one can eat from the meat, but there are also the other types of dam and the other types of animals that one will have to slaughter. If it is dami jinayat, for example, that one violated a major law of the ihram and one has to sacrifice a dam, which is known as dami jinayat, obviously the person cannot eat from that. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making reference to the general mustahab, or rather the sunnah and the wajib sacrifices, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the meat of the animal halal. And here Allah says we should also eat from that animal, because the kuffar of Makkah had this thought in their minds, the kuffar of Arabia, that whatever animals they sacrifice in the name of idols, it was not permissible to eat from that animal also. Even if that animal was not sacrificed in the sense that it was not slaughtered, then also if the animal was left free to roam, then also they would not eat from that animal, they would not benefit from that animal, the milk of that animal could not be utilized, etc. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this permissible for the ummah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course there is a great amount of spiritual benefit for us also, besides the dam shukr that takes place there, the qurbani that we make over here, that animal has been slaughtered in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. To eat from that animal also, there is a great amount of spiritual benefit now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in that animal. Not only eat yourself, وَأَطْعِمُ الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and feed those people who are in a poor condition, those people who are distressed financially, give them also to eat. And hence we find that the ulama have stated that one third we keep for ourselves, one third we give to family and relatives, and one third we give out to the poor. And this has become the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for the ummah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when that is finished and that is over, the animal is sacrificed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لِيَقْضُوا تَفَثَهُمْ. Thereafter, he should complete his impure state or unkept state. In other words, the state of filth that he is now in. Here Allah is speaking about the condition of ihram, that the haji had donned the ihram, saying the talbiyah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially the ihram of hajj, and now he comes to the 10th day of Zulhijjah. After he had gone to Mina, from there to Arafat, he spends the night in Muzdalifah. He comes now on the 10th morning to Mina, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him thereafter that he should pelt the jamarat, the jamaratul aqaba, the big jamarat. After he has pelted that, thereafter he should now sacrifice his animal, that is the dami shukr that he should sacrifice. After that he should clean his head, shave his head off, and then thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he should now purify himself from all the dirt, or clean himself from all the dirt that has accumulated over the past few days, the dusty conditions that are there, the person was unable to clean his hair, the person was unable to clip his nails, etc. So hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he should do that. So ثُمَّ لِيَخُدُوا تَفَثَهُمْ وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. In between, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of the past had this habit, that when they would go to Baytullah, they would take certain vows, vows in sacrificing the animals, etc. Whatever their vows are, they should complete and fulfill those vows. وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then he should go and make tawaf of Baytul Atiq, tawaf of the Baytullah. And this tawaf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here is the tawaf ziyarat, that is a compulsory act of the Hajj. One compulsory act is the wukuf of Arafat, and the other is to make tawaf of Baytullah after one had pelted the jamarat, and then thereafter one had sacrificed his animal, he shaved his head off, now he should make the tawaf, and he should make this tawaf his ziyarat, which is a compulsory act. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Baytullah and the Kaaba. Allah says, bil baytil atiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ancient house. One is the ancient house because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna awwala baytin wudi'a linnas lalladhi bibakkata mubarakan wa hudan lil'alamin, that this is the very first house that had been built as a significant place for a person to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some have said that Bayt al-Atiq also means the house that liberates, the house that frees. And in one riwayat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains why the Kaaba is called Bayt al-Atiq. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, liberated this house from any zalim, from any oppressive person that will stop people from coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has referred to this as bil Bayt al-Atiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.